My Music. A panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shryan. Your chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Hello, and welcome to another Feast for the Intellect from the stage of the Westminster Theatre in London. As usual, at this time, I offer our fruit and nut selection. Choose your favourite flavour. We have John Amos, for instance, and Frank Muir. We also have Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. My favourite is the one who never wins, Leonie Lawson, our score. John, tell us about this highly secular cantata. Tasty, too.
Well, unless it's PDQ, it's real genuine Bach.
Yes, J.S.
And if it's secular, that means it either has to be the peasant cantata or the coffee cantata.
And I was making signs with my little finger crooked.
Yes, I could do with a little coffee, I think.
Yes, the closing chorus from the coffee cantata.
But their words are so clear, you can't hear a damn thing.
What they're really singing is, cats love catching mice, old maids love drinking coffee, they say. J.S. Right. Bach, coffee cantata. Frank, your question. What would you dance to this, and how did the name originate? What would you dance to that, Frank?
Ian's gone mad. I would, in fact, excuse myself. But Ian would dance a Scottish country dance called the Gay Gordons.
Gay Gordons. And it's a brave man who'll tell me how that name arrived. Yes. Where'd the name come from?
It's obvious. It was the Gordon Highlander who used to drink gin. And used to get very jolly.
The nickname of the Gordon Highlanders, raised in 1794, as you were about to tell.
Lowered shortly afterwards.
Yes, by the drink. Yeah. Ian, Joan Higginson of Free and Barnett Lane in London sent me some rather nice howlers, including a definition of a bass, which I think you may like to hear since you are a bass. A bass is a big thing that makes a noise.
Well, I wouldn't quarrel with that.
No, no. Ian, who is this bass?
Why the old mind for Doda?
Yes, I imagine that is me at my farewell concert.
Mind you, at that speed, it could be the Bee Gees, you know.
Yes. Yeah, it is, you know, from one of your LPs. It's only fair, I think, to play a line or two at a proper speed. Listen.
Where the old flotilla lay. Can't you hear their paddles chunking from Wrangell to Mandalay?
Or maybe I'll go on a bit longer.
Even at that slow speed, it was recognisable to you because you had your working class voice on.
Yeah. Can you back to Mandalay?
How dare you?
Dennis, many is the time, Dennis, you've sat happily next to Ian while he sang Lean In. The chance to be on the same LP. You must know the words of the song by now, off by heart. Let's find out.
Leaning, leaning, I'm champion down our way, they say.
At
At what, dearest?
Well, I've heard this so often, I'd be churlish indeed not to... You didn't have to stir it up for me.
There you go, there you go.
Look at the road when you're being driven.
Don't bother to write it down.
He does oobop-shabam, oobop-shabam. And then the Wallacettes come in and do a sort of doo-wah chorus. Doo-wah, doo-wah. Like, you know.
Ian, give us the line.
Jumping on the way they say. At leaning on the gate beside the pond that lies beside the side of farmer stacks of new mown hay. That is windy while I've been leaning.
Ooh, bop, shabam.
All day.
And please notice, working class accent B.
Yes. Rural. No, that's my West Country. Yes.
Not the same month.
Having said that, I should probably be deluged with letters from the West Country saying how dreadful.
Just before we leave Joan Higginson's howlers, I did like, an oratorio is a religious song without any clothes or scenery.
True. Very good.
Questions about this and that. John. Lady Jersey, the great hostess of Getting On for Two Centuries Ago, said, on a terpsichorean topic, it is so obviously a prelude to conjugal activity that it is unfit for a single woman to perform. What was that all about? Frank.
The waltz?
Yes, the waltz. It was the waltz she was talking about. Frank, much more up to date. If Dana pulled it off in 1970 and Bucks Fizz in
1970.
That's for you to tell me. I repeat. If Dana.
Some kind of prelude, isn't it?
Pulled it off.
Succeeded at it in 1970 and Bucks Fizz in 1981, which palindromic party did it in 1974?
ABBA was I saw
Elba. Abba. Yes, ABBA. Yes, ABBA. Because they won the... Yeah,
the Eurovision Song Contest, sir.
Thank you very much. Ian, what did Marilyn Horne, only 22 at the time, do for Dorothy Dandridge in 1953? Can I give you a clue?
Please give me a clue. Yeah. Carmen.
Yes.
Carmen Jones. So, presumably, she dubbed it, did she?
Dubbed the voice part. Dorothy Dandridge and Carmen Jones.
Everybody. Harry Belafonte was dubbed, isn't
yes,
it, by somebody?
Yes, it was ridiculous, wasn't it? There it was. Yes, for Carmen Jones. Dennis, the Foxtrot. How did it get its name?
There are all sorts of... some research on this on a popular dance book, and I read... You know Irene and Vernon Castle, the story of Irene and Vernon Castle, the two great ballroom dancers of around, between 1910 and 1920-odd. She wrote two autobiographies, and in one of them, she said that the Foxtrot came at a time when all the popular dancers were called by the names of animals, like the bunny hug and the grizzly bear, and they had the castle walk. And they had a musical director who used to play Memphis blues, and he one day hit on a rhythm for it and said that would be a rhythm for a dance, and they started with Memphis blues, and they called it the Foxtrot for no other reason than that they could have called it the Turkey Trot or whatever it was.
That's one derivation. My choice is that it was named after Harry Fox, who first presented the dance in the Ziegfeld Follies of 1914.
Well, I think this was, around about that time.
Somebody, if I don't just correct you, somebody will write to you. Vernon and Irene Castle. Vernon Castle died during the First World War. There's an American airman, but Irene Castle lived on.
For a bonus, Mark, I could tell you why the dance is called the Slow Foxtrot.
Oh, why?
Well, it's not as fast as the Foxtrot.
What can you do with the quick step?
On the piano I have here, 8 tunes that need titles. The first 4 titles, please, from John and Frank. The second 4 from Ian and Dennis. Some easy, some not so easy. All right, quick.
Okay.
medley, eight tunes. Right, the first four... John, did you know that?
Sort of bit of ballet. It could be the beginning
you
of
know it.
Can-can.
It's a polka.
Yes, polka.
The polka's called polka because...
Trish-trash.
Trish-trash polka.
Trish-trash.
Give you that, half a mark, yes.
Second one is Ukulele Lady. Ukulele Lady loves it.
Then the next one has two titles.
It's from Prince Igor.
Yes,
it wasn't specially written, it was borrowed in. it's called Stranger in Paradise.
It's borrowed in 1950, to be precise. Yes, that's right. Stranger in Paradise, or the Polovtsian Dances, yes. And the last...
Know it. Well, as I know the...
Audience, please, anybody?
Back in the foot.
They don't. Under Paris Skies, that was
French,
called.
Yes.
Three half marks out of four half marks. Right.
Someday I'll find you.
Night is young and I'm so beautiful.
Well, you're so beautiful.
And then... Our love. But it comes from Tchaikovsky or something.
Yes. Romeo and Juliet fantasy. Yeah.
We don't want to lose you.
We don't want to lose you.
Think you ought to go.
That's right. You've got four half marks. It's odd how a misprint can demean a person or a thing. I speak of someone who was once referred to in the press as Steve Face, for instance. The Times newspaper, listing the major centenaries for the year 1983, gave November the 8th as the centenary of the birth of Sir Harold Bax. What should it have read, John? The Times, Sir Harold Bax.
Well, Sir Harold somebody else, but it could have been Sir Arnold Bax.
No, of course, it's his centenary, Sir Arnold Bax, yes. We've already noted in the previous programme a press reference to Ian Wallace, the famous sinner. No. Any other suggestions for a minor misprint?
I saw one the other day in a record shop. They had Stravinsky's ballet, The Rite of Spring, but they spelled it R-I-G-H-T. And I mentioned this to Fritz Spiegel. I was talking to him on the telephone, and he'd got a little book, I think.
He'd like that. Yeah.
And... he had one there from a gramophone catalogue, a work by Hans Werner Henze, Strumpet Sonata. And he also saw an advertisement for somebody wanted to sell an uptight piano.
I've had one or two of those in my time.
He suggested that one was overstrung.
Yes. Frank, did the misprint or something?
The National Anthea. and the Bizet's popular opera set in Dorothy Dandridge, which is in the film version, called Barmen. Yes. And my love is like a red, red nose.
Oh, yes.
No more.
One, I think, Ian. Have you got an idea? One more, if you want.
Song called Let Me Call You Sweatheart. and an Irish song called Come Back to Eric. This is a kind of perennial question on this programme, and listeners, viewers tend to send me some. But look, because the last time we did it, I said I like them when they've got a little sort of gloss on them, when they add a commentary. And I had Johann Sebastian Bach, who the suggestion was wrote the ill-tempered clavier, Edith Piaf, who sang La Vie en Rice. George M. Chan,
yes.
The writer of Yangtze Doodle Dandy.
I was quite pleased to receive from one of our supporters the name of the song, The Piles of Pan Are Falling. One word, is all it takes from a famous singer to identify the voice. In fact, I'll prove it.
Unforgettable.
Audience, who was that? Thank you, Nat King Cole. Yes. Except in the case of John's question, the singer was also the writer of the song, which makes it even easier. But John, who was this?
Svita.
Singing Svitas.
Well, Ian's trying to give it to me.
Right.
But it's...
Yes, he's got it, yes.
Tauber.
Yes, Richard. Richard Tauber.
I give my heart.
Yes.
We are in love again.
Right. Well, from here on, they're songwriters as well as singers. So, Frank, who's this singing?
Georgia.
It's Hoagie Carmichael, sir.
Singing his own Georgia. Ian, again, the singer's also the songwriter.
T.P. McCall.
Yes, alias?
Peter Dawson.
Peter Dawson, yes.
He wrote under the name of T.P. McCall.
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually, that found a bit, took a bit of finding on the record. That
sure.
From Boots, yeah. Marching Up and Down Again. Kipling's words, of course, but Peter Dawson, under that name, wrote the setting. Yes, that's right. Dennis, here's yours.
Tangerine.
Johnny Mercer.
Yeah, Johnny Mercer's own Tangerine. Talking of tangerines, anyone know who this is? Singing the one word, lemons.
Lemons.
Yes, I think I do.
Yeah. Who?
My former great friend and colleague, Owen Branigan.
Yes. It was. Oranges from Oranges and Lemons. Mm. Just the one with Owen Branigan.
How do you know that?
Lovely. Oh, there you are. Showtime. Or rather, showbiz time. John, what, listening to this, is about to start? Dennis knows this all right. I'm not
it's
sure.
One of those showbiz.
Yes, things. That's right. Yes, it is indeed.
Chorus line.
Chorus line. Yes, it's the start of a chorus line. You've got a mark, Frank. A chorus line. Music by Marvin Hamlisch. A study. A story of people whose identity is simply a number, like us when we were in the forces. Hence this song. A New York Shakespeare Festival production, it says on the record, Frank, in association with Plum Productions. My favourite Broadway, Plum, died in the same year this show had its premiere. Which Plum and which year?
Vesta Victoria.
No, I'm afraid she'd gone by
then. I thought on my favourite, you know, well, Mr Woodhouse.
You know perfectly well, yes, Plum... Because his name was Pelham, wasn't it?
Pelham, yep.
Plum, P.G. Woodhouse. Ian, from later in the show.
Kiss today goodbye. The sweetness and the sorrow. Wish me luck the same too. But I can't regret what I did for love. What I did for love.
Wish me luck, she sang, the same to you. What happens, Ian, when you wish people luck in the theatre?
A lot of people seem to be quite happy to be wished luck, but there is a superstition that you should do it the other way round and say something like, break a leg.
Similar things that are bad luck, Frank?
Arriving at the theatre 5 minutes after you're supposed to have been on, that's not at all lucky.
Right. Dennis, the first full score that Marvin Hamlisch wrote for a film had a conventional romantic theme, nice one, though the film itself was anything but conventional. Sad theme.
Sort of 50-ish type of film, right?
1968.
Was it?
I'm the only person I know that ever saw this film.
Oh,
very,
that's helpful.
Super film. Very good, haunting film. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a clue, but it's difficult. Burt Lancaster was in it.
Oh.
In fact, hardly anybody else, really.
Yes, I know. Is it that one...
where he goes
yes.
from one house to another right. via the swimming pools, oh, yeah. which yes. was an extraordinary image, it's wasn't it?
The swimmer, it's sort of allegory of life itself. Marvelous film. Yeah. If you ever get a chance to see it,
maybe an allegory of your life.
The swimmer.
Yeah.
Four songs, four singers, and full marks for everyone. So the contest's really over already. I'll tell you the score later. Frank begins with "I Love My Baby." There's the note, Frank.
How do I know when you're going to start?
I'm going to start slightly after you.
Right. I've got to run into this. I love my baby. My baby loves me. Don't know nobody as happy as we. She's only 20, but I'm 21. We never worry. We simply have fun. I love to quarrel, and maybe we fight. But then we make up the following night. When we're together, we're such company. I love my baby. My baby loves me. Me. Love me.
We hope that star will never come back. John, the song of the boatmen on the Ohio River.
Yes, this is a minstrel song about 140 years old. Yeah. And it goes something like, "Hi, row the boatmen, row, floating down the river, the Ohio. The boat boatman dance, the boatman sing, the boatman up to everything. And when the boatman gets on shore, he spends his cash and works for more. Then dance, the boatman dance, oh dance, the boatman dance. Oh dance all night till I live all daylight and go home with the gals in the morning. Oh then dance, the boatman dance, oh dance, the boatman dance. Oh dance all night till broad daylight and we won't go home till the morning. Hi, row the boatman, row, floating down the river, the Ohio. Hi, row the boatman, row, floating down the river, the Ohio.
The train now arriving at Platform 1 is the 1358 from Wherever My Baby Lives. In other words, Dennis sings "My Acute Is Due at 2 to 2.
You know that style you hope would never come back?
Yeah,
it's here again. My cutie do, a two to two, she's coming through on a big choo-choo. She'd been away for months, but I never cheated once. Stayed home nights, didn't dance, wasn't taking any chance. Didn't flirt, and though it hurt, just couldn't do my cutie dirt. My days were blue, my nights were black, but I just knew that she'd come back. For I love her, and she loves me, I'll say. And when I feel her lips on mine, I won't let go till 9:30. My cutie's due a two to two today.
Which leaves Ian, a song you haven't heard before, which regrets the passing of the songs that you have heard before.
The old songs, the old songs, sing them for me. Songs of the olden days, graceful and free. So many memories in one sweet refrain. Sing me the old songs, sing them again. The old songs that new songs can never replace. Perfumes of lavender, visions of lace.
heartache in every bar, but so sweet a pain. Sing me the old songs, sing them again.
And I must tell you that that is a song that you have never heard, because nobody before has ever heard it, because the composer and the lyric writer is none other than Steve Race. Yeah, thank you.
It couldn't have been more beautifully sung, Ian. Thank you. How appropriate the victory on the score sheet this week should go to, honestly, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Bye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the programme was produced by Tony Shryan and Pete Atkin.